You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This FPL season has definitely been go, go, go. A nonstop hustle all the time. Matches, deadlines, unexpected blank and double game weeks, on top of everything the real world has had in store. Sometimes you need a moment to turn off and hit reset. That's when you reach for Coors Light. It's made to chill. For me personally, supporting Fulham during this last year has been a true roller coaster ride. Honestly, when that Adama Traore goal flew past Areola in the 92nd minute of game week 31, the only thing that saved my mental state, the only thing that calmed my nerves, was cracking open a Coors Light. There's only one beer out there that's literally made to chill, and that's Coors Light. The mountains on the bottles and cans even turn blue when your beer is cold. That way, you always know when it's time to chill. When you need to hit reset, just open a Coors Light. It's mountain cold refreshment made to chill. And listen, everyone, summer is pretty much here. It's about to get hot in New York. An ice-cold Coors Light is such a perfect way for me to beat that summertime heat. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light and the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. And as always, celebrate.
Hail, cheaters, and welcome to the Always Cheating Fantasy Premier League podcast. My name is Josh, and I'm here with Brandon. Brandon, how are you?
Josh, I'm exhausted. I've been playing FPL nonstop for about 7 days now. Get me out of here.
I know, and then it picks back up in like 2 days. It's so fast. We're bringing up the caboose once again. We're the final podcast out of the gate. For the second week in a row, I think, and just because of scheduling,
it was your birthday yesterday, Josh.
It was my birthday yesterday too, and so there's a lot of stuff. You know, I'm just young enough that I can still like have parties on my birthday.
I want to see some birthday cake emojis directed at Hail Cheaters out there right. After this podcast lands.
That's right. But yeah, it was an interesting game week. It sort of ended on a very high note for me, having Captain Harry Kane, and I was sort of anxiously waiting for today's results before I kind of, you know, decided how I felt about this game week. And so yeah. I had a little something for everybody. I finished on 175 points. But Brandon, before we get into that, you had something you wanted to mention at the top of the podcast.
Yeah, our friend Jamie over at Fantasy Football Magazine has a deal that he wanted to offer to listeners of Always Cheating. And it is for an actual print magazine, Josh. So we're reading the internet about the Fantasy Premier League, but don't you look more sophisticated, like reading a print periodical when you're on the train or you're in an airplane?
I also read better. Like, I am a bad reader online, and a much better reader when it comes to print or, you know, like magazines or books.
Yeah, it's an interesting prospect, a little bit of long-form strategy for all you hardcore fantasy managers out there. So like I said, Jamie is offering listeners of Always Cheating a special 25% off deal for their inaugural issue print subscription thing that starts this summer in July. So 25% off, it's £21 plus shipping for a print subscription, and you also get a league invite and a special members group invite to the Fantasy Football Magazine leagues next season. But the thing is, Josh, there are only 10 of these discounts available. I have a subscription, but like a rube, I paid full price.
Right. So what's the link? Where do they go?
You go to fantasyfootballmag.com/always cheating. And over there on the right hand side of the page, you can click. There's a special Always Cheating perk with the discount. So, yeah, just go to fantasyfootballmag.com/always cheating. Yep. Only 10 available. Act fast. And I put a link to that URL in our podcast show notes. So if you're on your phone or on your desktop, just go to the show notes and you can click to go right to that deal.
Yeah, exactly. We're not getting the cut of this, but we just thought we'd share it in case anybody was excited to keep the FPL flame going or, you know, gear up for next season.
It's a long hot summer. You got to have something to do.
Exactly. What was that link one more time?
FantasyFootballMag.com/alwayscheating.
All right. Excellent. On to the game weeks. So I finished on 175 points. Very happy about that. Unfortunately, you did even better. Unfortunately for me.
I mean, I think you would say the same about 175, but by a country mile, I had my best FPL score ever. I mean, I think most managers would say exactly that this week. It was one of those weeks where every single one of your players, I mean, Gabbiadini, comes through for you.
Right.
And I landed on 188 total points, but that's a -4 transfer penalty. So technically a 184 net, but that's what game week rank of 8,977. I'm thrilled.
Yeah. What is your overall rank now?
Yeah, that pushes me up to 44,466, I think it is. So to break into the top 50,000 when I was started at 109,000 at the beginning of the game week is a pretty insane leap. Yeah. More than halved my rank.
Yeah, and I jumped actually 175,000 as I make this like epic climb from, I think it was game week 23, I think, when I was at 1.55 million, and now I'm down to 151,598. So I've jumped over 1.35 million managers in the last 13 game weeks, and it has not been easy.
Hey, you've got a puncher's chance at a top 100K.
Yeah, exactly. If I make my captain pick right this game week, which we're going to talk about a lot. We're going to talk about two things on this podcast, really only two things to talk about. First thing is what transfers to make this week. And the second question is who do you want to captain? And that's pretty much it. And it's not totally cut and dry because if you're down 20 or 30 points, it kind of changes, who you captain this game week. So before we get into it, and I don't want to spend too long in this game week because game week 38 is coming in a couple days. But it was such an extraordinary game week that
it's sad that we don't get to bask in the glow of game week 37 for more than about 48 hours.
Yeah, exactly. I was happy, you know, so I captained Kane, which, you know, worked out great for me. I mean, my thinking was sound. It just didn't work out for me. If Alexis Sanchez had scored one less goal, actually, I would have been looking pretty good. But as
in
it
terms
was,
of beating me,
yeah,
you mean?
Yeah, you officially won the $50 cup this game week. And
thank you. I also want birthday cake emojis for this.
That's true. Now, if I win game week 38, then we actually technically tie, and you will win on a technicality.
There will be an asterisk in the history book, and I fully accept that. But pay me.
I will. So Captain Kane, which was the right choice. I mean, my thinking was, it's the thinking that I've advocated a lot on this podcast, which is that the problem was because I'd wildcarded earlier, I was only going to have, I think 11. I would have had 12, but then when Robert Huth went down, I decided to drop him instead of Ben Gibson and just hope.
Yeah, that was real bad luck for you in the double planning.
Yeah, that one cost me. And so instead of having 12 players, I had 11. I mean, I guess I could have burned 8, but I mean, Southampton haven't been scoring a lot. And so I thought burning 4 for Gibson when they might have been able to keep a clean sheet. I forgot how awful the burger is and how happy they're going
down. Don't forget.
Sorry to any burger fans out there.
I look forward to Fulham playing them in the championship next season.
Yeah. So I knew that I had to, but the sheer numbers of you getting, an extra 2 points from 5 players, that put me in like effectively a 10-point hole at least from the start.
Right, because I feel a full 15 of double game weekers.
Exactly. So I knew I had to take a risk on my captain, and I knew you were going to captain Sanchez, and so I captained Kane. And
you intuited, Josh.
Yeah. Well, I did. I saw you'd made 2 transfers and you'd hinted at it. And so I actually captain Kane with like seconds to go. I was on Sanchez and then I.
Well, OK, talk me through this. Our listeners like to get a look behind the curtain because I was trying to be as cheeky as possible with this game week deadline because I wanted to see if you were going to burn 4. Mm-hmm. And I was out on my lunch break on Friday, basically refreshing your team's page.
I knew you were. And I was going to make you sweat as long long as...
And it was 7 minutes, too, and I was like, I can't risk it. What if there's a problem with the LTE network? And so I punched in my transfer, and then immediately I see you have two.
Yeah, exactly. I knew you wouldn't have the guts to wait the last 2 minutes.
We are disgusting individuals. We are truly disgusting
what
managers.
What is this friendship? I don't know what it is anymore. congrats to you on winning the $50 Cup. However, the good news for me is I am actually into the finals of the Showstoppers League, and that was incredibly high drama. And I know that not everybody even knows what this. I don't want to get too in the weeds about our personal stuff. Although I would happily talk about my.
I've got lots of personal baggage that we should if we didn't take the summer off, I'd just basically just air so many grievances.
A weekly Patreon pod of our personal stuff. We're just talking about my baby for, an hour or something like that.
Showstoppers League, it's our little mini head-to-head within the supreme always-cheating community.
Exactly. So on the Showstoppers League, I was playing William Brindley this game week, and William Brindley had some – he was actually up 42 points on me going into the Tottenham fixture, and I really kind of wasn't even paying that much attention at the start because I felt like I had such a massive hole. And then I started to do the math, and I realized that if I could just get a brace from Kane and a clean sheet from Davies, I had a chance to win this thing, or maybe tie. And then I lost the clean sheet, and I was like, all right, this is officially over. And then like a minute later, Kane scores a goal, and then he gets an assist, and then he scores a third goal, and then he scores a fourth goal. And then somehow after being down 42 points, I actually won by 14. And it's very rare that you outscore somebody by 54 points in a single game. The only person
in that moment that felt worse than your head-to-head opponent was probably Romelu Lukaku, who saw the golden boot just not slipping through his fingers, but basically just sailing away like a Concorde jet.
Yeah, and we're going to talk about him later too. So we're playing a longtime friend of the podcast, Siraj Gareish. I'm playing him, Siraj, in the final. He had 192 points this game week, and he beat Ian Stimson in the other semifinal match. So Siraj and I will play on Sunday. We have actually a pretty similar team, so I'm curious to see how this one shakes out. I'm also screwed by not having by David De Gea not playing anymore for reasons that like no one really understands.
I mean, Pickford will probably get like 25 saves.
That's so what I was thinking.
You're fine.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, so you're also screwed because you have a podcast where you have to actually reveal your thinking about this, and Siraj is sitting back listening. Yeah.
It's all well
taking
and good in game week 27. Yeah. So, Brandon, just a quick one more piece of housekeeping before we get into this week's episode. I guess we're already like 10 minutes in, is Patreon. If anybody hasn't heard yet, we had Ken Rooney, who many of you know, writes a weekly football column and Irish Examiner, and all around great guy. Like genuinely like just awesome guy. It was great having the podcast. And he talks about, the experience of writing an FPL column and, how he sort of got it past his editor. And we had someone on Facebook actually mention that, it really was helpful for him to listen to that podcast and hear about his approach. So worth listening to that podcast. You can check it on Patreon. I know that not a lot of people want to send it about Patreon when the season's just about to end. So we added a $1 tier, like a bare bones tier. And
so all you have to do is pay $1 to hear Ken Rooney change your life.
That's like 50 cents in the UK. So, I think you can probably swing it. I actually sent an email on Patreon, but just the way the billing works, in case anybody wants to know, there is a hiatus feature. So we're not doing any podcasts in June. The way that the payouts, the charges happen at the end of the month. So in the month of June, we're not planning to do any podcasts. So we're not going to charge anyone on Patreon, or no one's going to have any money withdrawn like that, because obviously we don't want anybody who's supporting the podcast to support us when we're not actually recording podcasts.
We get a break, you get a break. That's
exactly
how it works.
Exactly. But you can check that out.
Patreon.com/alwayscheating.
Yeah, and we're definitely going to do it next year, and we've got lots of ideas for Patreon offers. So, Patreon.com/alwayscheating. Check it out.
Speaking of that, Josh, we met one of our newest patrons here in New York, Danny Bean. Special shout out to Danny Bean, who is in need of your thoughts and prayers right now, because he's a Sheffield Wednesday fan, and we heard from him after the playoff semifinal that went to PKs. Poor Danny walked about 5 miles home while drunk and crying his eyes out, trying to recover from that PK loss.
Yeah.
My heart goes out to him in particular, because I'm a Fulham supporter, and we at least didn't get the drama of a penalty kick shootout, but
anybody but Redding really is what I'm feeling. But the Huddersfield Town coach, he is a Jurgen Klopp disciple, right? Or like an old friend of Klopp's or something like that. So I'm kind of hoping they make it, because I feel like if he comes from that Klopp school, they should be like a fun. I have to admit, I don't know anything about Huddersfield Town. If you are out there and listen to the podcast and you know Huddersfield Town, get in touch with us, because we'd love to have you on for a preview podcast.
If you've seen Huddersfield Town in your area, please let us know.
Assuming they
also
win,
before we get the #never Reading thing going, if there are Reading fans that are out there listening and can make a case as to why we need to see Reading again in the Premier League, do let us know on Twitter or Facebook.
Yeah, I agree. Okay, so Brandon, why don't you run through the top 10 in the Hail Cheaters Super League?
All right, real quick in the Hail Cheaters Super League, top 10, Warrett Roxhill, with one of the more challenging names this season. His team name, Izzazen FC, moves into the top 10. I haven't seen him before.
Actually, there's a KVIG in parentheses, or in brackets.
Right, yes, lest we forget. In ninth place, Laro J. Kinyard. Eighth place, BTSTU. Mitch Maynard making his reappearance. I feel like we gave Mitch a pep talk in the last couple of weeks, and he finally came through, and he had a big game week at 183 points, and he's there at number eight. Number seven, Matthew Greco with Banana Nose Maldonado. Number six.
New in the top ten, right? I don't think Banana Nose.
Yeah, making moves. Yeah, we got some move makers here in the top ten. Sixth place, Abdullah Al-Mamoun. Fifth place, it's Darren Anthony Hay, his Kinging Mings. Broke the double century mark, 204 points. Quick side note, I just checked through the top 100. You know, there are like 1,500 managers in the Hail Cheaters Super League. But in the top 100, we had three managers who broke the 200 barrier with Kinging Mings. Also, Larsenal FC also had 204 points. Top scorer was Lamella's Gloves with 206 points. And also a sad note for Red Snout there in the top 100, who was 1 point shy at 199.
Tough break, Red Snout.
Yeah, you had one shot. You missed it.
It's like one yellow card.
Yeah, right. Exactly. One Gabbiadini penalty miss. Fourth place, Jingming Tan with his team, Rior Murray 11. Third place, Sesboom, Caesar Rodart. Second place, Phil Bao, his team, Inzaghi, Goal Heroes. And hanging tough, Anders FK, Bricklayers, in first place. And Anders is ranked 91 overall in the world. Wow. Well done being in the top 100, Anders. Well, you got one more week. You can do
it. That's right. All right. And we have a quick meltdown of the week. Actually, not a lot of meltdowns this week. I think once you crack that 150-point barrier, you're just... You know, I feel like anyone on Captain Eden Hazard just didn't even have the energy to do a meltdown this week, right?
There was also something for everybody this game week. I feel like because so many people performed in their own way, like you were bound to have one or two guys on your team that lifted your spirits.
For Hazard, he played the whole 180 minutes. He played close to it anyway, and it's amazing that he ended up on 5 points.
And he looked good. It just wasn't meant to be.
Yeah, I know. Anyway, Uppercut Panda says he blew a 50-point lead in his cash league this game week. He's now 20 points behind, and that's because a triple Captain Sanchez trumps Caballero, Holgate, Blind, and a Rashford bench boost.
That's brutal, man.
Yeah.
I mean, the hardcore managers were not expecting to go up against a triple captain this week. And I think our friend Kat Mortensen out there on Twitter triple capped Harry Kane this week. A triple cap on Sanchez or Kane just brutalize anyone playing their bench boost.
Yeah, I mean, it actually would have worked out well for me this game week if I had triple capped it instead. I would have definitely done better than I did. My bench boost, because of the way I would have bench boosted, I would have had, you know, Daroon and Ben Gibson on my bench, and I wouldn't have played them.
So let's game this out real quick. I mean, isn't it still if you want to talk about the right way to play, the correct strategy would still be to bench boost in a game week like this where there were so many doubles, because the odds of you hitting a triple cap to the extent that you would on Sanchez or Kane this week are technically less than the odds of you maximizing a bench boost where there are... You know,
they were great fixtures, though. I mean, we knew they were going to be great fixtures going into those game weeks. I mean, these are the kind of fixtures where players like Kane and Sanchez dominate, right? So, like, Sanchez at home to a bad team is like money in the bank, right? Like just consistently.
Yeah, God, it's just hard. It's hard for me. I can tend to be conservative from time to time. And mm-hmm. for me to wrap my head around the risk of playing a bench boost where you don't have doubles on your bench, or playing a triple cap where, yeah, it's always going to be a risk.
Yeah, exactly. What you're effectively saying is, in hindsight, we still made the right choice to bench boost and not put a triple captain. I mean, the way it worked out for me, I actually think I would have won last game week had I not triple captained. So I could have held it and, you know, but whatever. I mean, what are you going to do?
Well, so this season has been what the narrative in my own personal FPL world that has come forward this season is the negotiation with myself of a mistake was made, but does the logic of your decision still hold true?
Sure, exactly.
And I can look back at the bench boost and triple captain and say the logic holds. Maybe it could have would have been better one way or the other, but such as it is. And in the coming seasons, we're still dealing with the chips. More information we have from previous seasons, the decision-making gets a little more robust.
Yeah, exactly. And, like, my thinking, you know, I wild-carded early, and I feel like I've effectively justified that because the players, my single game week players that I held on to were Zaha and Josh King, and I got 17 points from those two players. So that worked out fine. I mean, it was just that, I mean, really, ultimately, I mean, I can't complain about 175 points. No, I mean, you know, it's the, in our mini league, it was the second highest score this game week. And just because you scored more points than me, and won our little mini cup doesn't, you know, I mean, you can always look at someone who did better than you in a game week, but in general, yeah, like, you know, it's, you have to remember that, like, you are also sort of just trying to put together the best team. You know, it's not always about, like, I don't know where I'm going with this. You get what I'm saying.
I get what you're saying. Uppercut Panda. It's similar in that Caballero was one of my public enemies this double game week because I brought him in thinking like two pretty good fixtures, and I dropped Pickford for Caballero just thinking City on the double looked better than Sunderland, who was all but relegated at that point, or maybe they were already relegated. And of course Pickford, because he is a shot stopping machine, mm-hmm. puts together six saves, and Caballero, thanks for nothing.
Yeah, I actually vultured a clean sheet from Vincent Kompany. He went off like just a few minutes before they conceded that goal.
After the first fixture, though, he was looking like a really bum transfer for you, or complaining to me over GChat, but he came through with that.
Well, I was debating between Kompany and Azpilicueta, and so it was really hard for that to feel like a horrible mistake.
That's tough.
My concern was valid, right? I mean, how many players were rotated on that Chelsea squad? It was like seven, right?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah,
for sure. And also, you wanted to field as many differentials or not. You don't want to diversify your defense. You're going to catch a City clean sheet or a Chelsea clean sheet because you already had Alonso.
Exactly. So, you know, you can sit around and worry about this stuff, but, you know, it's really...
But instead, we should just put game week 37 to bed. It goes down in the memory books of one of the greatest game weeks in FPL history.
But now
it's dead.
All right, let's take a break. Let's get back to game week 38 transfer talk.
Same old podcast, always cheating.
Game week 38. Brandon, I've got three sections here. Transfer chat, captain chat, and et cetera chat. We'll see if we get to the et cetera chat. So
my favorite chat.
Yeah. Joe, Mark on Twitter, and Ponch We Trust. If we don't get to you, it's because we're having such an intense time getting to these questions.
They're like, it's like the late night show where they have like Jack Nicholson on as the first guest. You're like, well, if Jack tells a 30-minute long story, then I know my band isn't going to be able to play.
Dave Wagner-Lodell says, best punts if you have two free transfers left. I'm gonna combine his question with a question from Juicy Carla, who says, any suggestions for cheeky differentials, perhaps Sturridge?
Cheeky indeed. Sturridge himself, apparently after one game, this man is back and suddenly like part of, you know, Sturridge, Suarez, Sterling again. People are going bananas for Daniel. Yeah.
I missed the entire game. It's Mother's Day here in America. And so I took, Kate and I went out for breakfast and a walk.
Yeah, he looked good. He did his dance. His goal was very well taken, and you could definitely see Sturridge versus Origi. I mean, Origi is a good system player, and I think Klopp likes that about him. But Sturridge is a man who's just like, give me the rock and I'll get it done for you.
He's still pretty expensive, though. I mean, who are you dropping for Sturridge?
I mean, yeah, you're looking to drop somebody that is arguably undroppable versus Sturridge, be it Lukaku.
Yeah.
If I had Lukaku, I would drop Kane. That is an impossibility.
If I had Lukaku, I would drop Lukaku for I would consider dropping Lukaku for Sturridge. I mean, they're away to Arsenal. It's not a great fixture.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah, but I think I actually don't remember his price offhand. Is it yeah, it's 9 points. Sturridge is every year he's like the most overpriced player, and if he and Wayne Rooney, it's like the like expensive Englishmen are like the most over.
Well, Sturridge gets priced like that, right? Yeah. Like if he is healthy and plays 38 games, then he's probably worth that, or conceivably worth that.
I suppose. But he's never healthy.
Yeah, I mean, after the last two seasons, you can't argue that at all. I accept that. But in terms of cheeky differentials, I pulled four names. So tell me if you agree, meh, or disagree, Josh.
Okay.
All right, first one, hosting Sunderland. They're going to be receiving the trophy. It's Chelsea. Cesc Fabregas, he's been the, like, 12th man.
You really, you stumbled over that name. That was
Sorry, Cesc. I really butchered your name. Fabregas.
I love Fabregas as a pickup. I love him as a differential. He was rested at midweek. I think he's probably going to come back in the squad, especially because he scored like 3 minutes after coming back into the
team. Oh, yeah. He's definitely earned a major victory lap. He scored the game-winning goal to help Chelsea maybe get this all-time highest win record for a season, whatever they have going on.
So if Dave, like, I can't remember who Dave's third striker is, but let's say it's someone like Gabbiadini. It's like if you wanted to...
We're talking about Dave Wagner-Lodl, not Cesar Azpilicueta.
Right, yeah. David, who asked us the question about two transfers left. You could do something like, you could turn Dele Alli, who's in kind of poor form, into somebody like Cesc Fabregas, and then you could take that money and turn Gabbiadini into, like... I don't know. Like,
well, okay. So, here's another one.
I meant to say Olivier Giroud, but my brain could not come up with the name Olivier Giroud, and so I was just like, I was like stalling for time.
I've got another Tetris puzzle here. You could turn Dele Alli into Cesc Fabregas, and all of us who are saddled with the generally terrible, but yes, now also injured Victor Anichibi. You could afford to turn Anichibi into Llorente at Swansea, who are hosting West Brom. Llorente is in great goal-scoring form at 6.2 million, and that's a pretty easy way to turn your 3-5-2 into a 3-4-3, which is exciting to me going into game week 38.
I'm debating one of two different moves this game week. One is Gabbiadini to Llorente, just like an easy move. I can afford it. Don't need to burn any money. Second move would be Alli to Coutinho. And the advantage there is that Coutinho's in good form. It's a must-win game for them. Alli has not played quite as well recently. He certainly hasn't been like in the goal-scoring form that he typically is in. But, you know, the concern with Alli is that they're playing Hull away, and he was like very hungry for a goal at the end of this match, at the end of the Leicester match. And I do think he'll start. I just don't know why you'd rest him at his age. I know you like they want to play the young players, but he's still a young player. Like there's no reason for him not to play as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, and the Christian Eriksen rest. I don't see that as a like for like. Like I rest Eriksen this week as Pochettino, next week I rest Alli.
That could be a problem for your other differential candidate here.
Yeah, Heung-min Son is another differential, and I think Son has been basically this the entire season a differential. And there was like a 2 to 3 week blip right when Kane got injured, where everyone thought that Son was going to come in and do the business, and it was kind of touch and go, as it's been all season. But two goals against Leicester. He looked great. They feed him the ball. He's making those runs that often Dele Alli would make if Son's not on the pitch. Mm-hmm. And if they run right over Hull and Son starts, I like him to get a goal.
I don't know that he'll... Oh, he played so well. Can you really bench him after playing that well in the match? And he did sub off a little early, so maybe he does play.
I mean, disclaimer, anything goes in Game Week 38. We don't know.
That is true, actually. I mean, yeah, there was a question here from... Mark on Twitter asked, give us a definitive answer. Will Hazard start against Sunderland? I mean, who knows, right? I mean, it's just impossible to know.
Well, yeah, there is no definitive there. I would guess he... I don't know. I want to say I'd guess he wouldn't because he gave him the whole 90, which Hazard rarely plays 90. And you think he gets a rest and gets to come on. Maybe it's the players who didn't get rested.
So it's like Azpilicueta, Hazard. Who else didn't get rested? It was like almost the whole squad besides those two guys.
But I'm wondering if he doesn't start Hazard. So it's like if you are an MVP of a team that wins the league, I realize it's N'Golo Kanté, according to the press. But if you're Kanté figuring out how to show appreciation for Hazard, you can either start him and sub him in the 85th minute and Stamford Bridge gives him a standing ovation, or you bench Hazard and you bring him in, you know, in the 75th minute and let him bask in the glory for the last 15 minutes of the season, and then he's on the pitch right before the trophy presentation.
God, you're so dramatic. You love this bask in the glory. It's like a fantasy novel. It's like where they're like getting like.
Josh, go to my Tumblr where I have oil paintings of all of my favorite predictive
Eden Thorgan Hazard go on their quest. Okay, so your last one is if I may jump on your notes,
please take it. It's yours.
Is Emery Chan 4.9 million? And to answer Dave's question, I think I don't know his team. Or I can't remember his team well enough right now to make like real.
He basically has the same team as me, I think, right. Josh.
I do think that any move that I would make if I had two transfers would involve bringing in a Liverpool player, a defender if you need a defender for this game week, or Coutinho, who scored. You know, Coutinho he's a bit of a form player, and just scored two goals. Fantastic game week.
The goals, to be fair, were basically given to him on a silver platter by James Collins, but he was there to take them.
There are basically two teams that have something they really have to play for this game week, or maybe three if you want to include Man City. But it's Arsenal, Liverpool. With Arsenal, there's really only you kind of already have the Arsenal players you want to have, right? Either like you've got your Arsenal like defender and Sanchez, or Giroud is like a cheeky punt, I think, for game week 38. I think he's probably going to start again. I don't know why he wouldn't.
Yeah, it's very unexpected that Giroud suddenly becomes favored over Welbeck. I didn't predict that.
Is it because he's better and fits better?
I mean, they win. I can't argue. Like, I would not argue that Welbeck is better than Giroud. I can't argue that. But
yeah,
and as we discussed on a previous podcast, I feel like Welbeck brings something different. Like his pace creates space, whereas Giroud's bulkiness and hold up play is a whole other thing together.
It is, but Welbeck can't score. I don't know. I was talking. It's funny because we were talking to Danny Bean, the guy we mentioned earlier, the
Owls fan.
The Owls fan. Thank you. And I'm a little hungover. Sorry. Did I mention my birthday was last night? I'm not quite as sharp as I typically am. So Danny was talking about
Harry Kane 4 goals for your birthday.
It was good perspective though on how someone listened. Both him and his girlfriend listened to an episode, and his girlfriend had no idea what the fuck was going on. All our like differential talk and our like dumb jokes, and she like it was just like it was completely like I don't even know what is happening right now. So it's a good reminder that next year, like for the early podcast, we can't just jump right into like differential talk, and like we've got to like remind people what these terms are. So. But the other thing he said was, you guys like destroy Danny Welbeck in every podcast, but everybody loves Danny Welbeck, or many people love Danny Welbeck in the UK. You know, as national team player, is a good all around good guy, which I agree. Like, Danny Welbeck does seem like a good guy, but
no beef here, man. No beef here.
But to see him play over Olivier Giroud is just absurd. I mean, come on, give me a break. He's not better.
Yeah, I mean, you're bringing us down a path where we have to then start arguing about Arsene Wenger, and nobody wants to listen to that. No, absolutely nobody.
Yeah.
Okay, I have a question to round out this transfer chat, Josh. I feel like a lot of people have this on their mind. It's the last game week of the season. We're talking about, I mean, Dave's got two frees left, but if you only have one, is there any scenario in which you're burning 4 points going into game week 38, or is that just idiotic? Because typically you would burn 4 points looking long term.
Yeah, I don't know what kind of team you'd have to burn 4 points. You know, like I who is injured right now? Like, who's not going to play this? Like, you don't even know who's going to play anyway. So any player you'd bring in would be kind of a risk. You know, I mean, maybe to burn four to turn Hazard into Coutinho. I mean, but do you really risk dropping Hazard at home to Sunderland just on the hope that he doesn't start? You know, I don't know. It's really
that is the one that will keep you up at night for sure.
For sure.
I'm so glad I got rid of Hazard. Yeah. Just unapologetically going into 37. I don't have to deal with that.
Yeah.
I feel like burning four though. If you found yourself in a position where now you have to chase your money league and to get a really high value or high quality differential, that is the scenario in which I feel like you're burning four. Like, if you're just after improving your overall rank, odds are minus four might end up biting you.
I think so.
Am I talking like a risk averse person?
No, but I think you're onto something there. You're talking like a guy who's in second place in a mini league and wants to hold off a couple of feisty
contenders. Yeah. The big money starts in second place. Third place is you just get your buy in back. Right. So I am definitely working to hold second place.
I'll round this out myself. We'll just keep rounding this thing. It's like singing it around, because this is an easy one. Fat Gorilla says, do you think Lukaku wants the golden boot as much as Kane does?
Well, obviously he does, but he's not going to get it.
Do you think so? I don't know. I mean, I feel like Kane played that Leicester game like a man who would have fought your mother for the golden boot. I mean, he was like taking every free kick. I mean, he was like constantly like running forward. I mean,
yeah, well, that's exactly what I'm saying. Like, I don't think Lukaku wants it as much as Harry Kane does. And also, Lukaku away to Arsenal now, he's like two goals behind Harry Kane now.
Just to
share the golden boot. I mean, two goals is a big ask for Rom, who has terrible away form. And also has terrible form, period, in the league. Yeah. And Harry Kane is against Hull. And I think he's probably odds on favorite to score at least one goal. So you're asking Romelu to score a hat trick.
Yeah, I mean, can you imagine? Okay, actually, let's talk about Kane. We're going to talk about Kane in the captain section. So let's take a quick break and let's get right into captain chat, part two.
Same old podcast, always cheating.
Captain chat, part two. Dave Aston says, easy one, Captain Kane or Captain Coutinho. Secondly, is it time to lower ourselves into the gutter with a Liverpool defender? Sure. I mean, Middlesbrough aren't going to score any goals.
Well, no, famous last words. I am not even going to let Liverpool defense enter into my thoughts. Okay. Alvaro Negredo is the ultimate party spoiler, is he not? I mean, remember when we all pinned our hopes on him during the double, and then he rewards us by wiping out Man City clean sheets for no good reason.
True.
No, Liverpool defense, if you don't have it, if you have it, fine. If you don't have it, don't even.
All right, so back to the captain question. Kane, Coutinho, or other? The other one here is, Alexis Sanchez is really the one who stands out to me.
Yeah, Sanchez is not a bad one, given that they're home and he's on fire. I keep coming. My armband is on Harry Kane right now. Mm-hmm. And Like you're talking about Philippe Coutinho. He's a form player. But this Liverpool squad is very schizophrenic, though you would favor them heavily to beat the Burger at Anfield. I can't bet on who performs there. So therefore, yeah. I think you're covered if you bring Coutinho in, but to then armband, it's a big reward if he comes through, but I think the risk is higher with Coutinho than it is with Kane.
Yeah, as someone who captained Coutinho, you know, in that, like, that famous, like, four-game game week about 10 weeks ago, and I think I got 1 point out of him, Coutinho can be a very frustrating player, and that the attack in Liverpool is sort of designed around giving lots of other lots of players have the chance to score in that attack. You know, like 1 week it's Emery Chan, 1 week it's Firmino. I mean, I don't know if Firmino's even going to play, but you got Origi, you know, Sturridge. It's just it's not predictable the way, you know, the Arsenal attack is, or the, you know, Spurs attack is, or like that. Where if they're going to score, you know, Alexis or Kane or Ali are going to be involved in those goals. And that's just not true with Liverpool.
All right, I have your other option. Diego Costa at home to Sunderland. So yeah. Diego sits the bench for the entirety of the previous match. You'd expect him to definitely start at home to Sunderland. And if he gets the service, probably a brace for him. What do you think about that? I mean, would you bring Diego Costa in for this fixture?
Yes, but I wouldn't drop any of my current players for Diego Costa.
Yeah, his price is the barrier to entry. So this is kind of a tip,
yeah,
if we could call it that, for anyone who suffered with Diego Costa through game week 37. Now, our heart goes out to you. Trying times. It was terrible. But I think you may be rewarded by hanging on to him for 38.
Yeah, I mean, Costa is the one. Okay, so let's say you were down like 20 points in your league. I've been in this position before where I was trying to make up some points, you know, the last game week of the season. This actually happened to me the last time I won our league, which was two seasons ago. And I was kind of like down like the whole second half of the season, and then I got kind of lucky with captains, but I was trying to pick captain. It's just like very basic game theory, right? Like if everyone's going one way, the way to make up points is to go the other way. So if you were down,
which, like, is exactly, you know, why you captained Harry Kane in 37.
Exactly. It's exactly the same logic. So if you were down like 20 points in your mini league, you're in second place. And you were less conservative than you are, Brandon. And you were like, you're going for first. I'm just kidding. Ben, who's never won our league, has had like an amazing season. He's like 60 points ahead of everybody. So
which means I want to give it to Ben. I could make up 60 points if I wanted to, but I don't, because I feel bad for Ben.
No. So let's say you were down 20 points, though. Who is your differential captain for game week 38? And it doesn't necessarily have to be someone completely out of the blue, but I have a differential captain for you, Brandon.
Okay. Well, I think it's Diego Costa for me. Just looking at talking about Coutinho and Harry Kane. I really like Harry Kane for 38, but Costa is my differential.
Diego Costa is, but just realistically, it's going to be hard to bring in Costa unless you already have him. So what about Josh King, Bournemouth away to Leicester? And Josh King's cheap. If you don't have him, it's easy to bring him in. He's in great goal-scoring form, and Leicester don't have any center backs right now. Like that was the main reason I captained Kane, or one of the main reasons. It was one of the reasons I decided I could get away with captaining Kane, which was, you know, it's a Leicester squad without center backs, and a guy like King can score against a team like that. So if you were, you know, if you were looking for a guy who might score two or three goals, maybe win a penalty, possibly get like some huge scoreline that like no one else is going to captain, he might be a good option.
I'm going to make an argument against, which is not based on any statistics, but you're Leicester City and you're playing your last game at home of the season. You just hosted Spurs and were absolutely humiliated in front of your home fans. And as we've seen, as the drama has unfolded at the King Power over the course of the season, these are very emotional players. And they seem, I don't know. I feel like they're going to be pissed off coming out against Bournemouth, and they're going to want to make it up to their supporters. And I feel like they're going to try to put in an actual shift. So it's recency bias, perhaps, just watching that Spurs-Leicester game. But I do think Bournemouth are going to find it's harder than you think.
Well, that is fair, but I mean, they just don't have the players, right? I mean, Danny Drinkwater is out for the rest of the season. Both their starting center backs are out for the rest of the season. It's just, a, I mean, I assuming Huth is out for the rest of the season, which I think you probably will be. I mean, why risk it, you know? I mean, you're already safe. There's no reason to aggravate an injury, especially as, you know, as a player in his 30s. Okay, so let's say you didn't do Josh King. How about Gylfi Sigurdsson? Swansea, you know, host West Brom, or I mean Sigurdsson or Llorente, maybe one of those two players.
Yeah, I think okay. Now I'm gonna give you another theory here, Josh. I actually like Gylfi a little more in this scenario over Llorente, even though Llorente is a good differential. There are a lot of big boys who play on the back line at West Brom, and they're very good at in the air, and they're probably going to body up on Llorente. So as I should have prepared some stats, some heat maps for this, Josh.
Yeah.
But I guess like Swansea is more favored to score a goal from distance as opposed to from a set piece because Pulis teams like to defend. So Gylfi looks a little better taking free kicks or taking shots outside the box, getting rebounds from aerial defense from West Brom. So that's my call.
Okay, I like it. I think those are some interesting options. I mean, you know, I guess Christian Eriksen is maybe an option too. I mean, we're talking about differential players here, but, you know, we know he's going to start on Sunday. You know, rest at the weekend, probably wants to, you know, put in one big final shift. Could you piggyback on Kane's point? I mean, obviously, like, it's almost like if you know what, who, like, let's say like there's someone in first and you know they're going to captain Kane, you got to stay away from that whole Spurs squad. You just have to hope that they don't do anything, right? That like Hull put in this final like FU to Spurs and it's like a nil-nil game or something like that. But so if that's the case, you don't want anything to do with that team. I mean, you could almost justify just transferring out players from that team. Like you can't be part of that game at all if you want to make up points. You know, because it's not just about scoring as many points as you can. It's about the players above you or the people in the teams above you not doing well. Like the ball is not entirely in your court anymore. So I don't know. That's just how you have to think, though, if you want to make up those points.
We haven't mentioned Man City once in terms of, I mean, Gabriel Jesus was kind of an under the radar favorite from game week 37. I mean, he did not have a haul even close to Alexis or Harry Kane, but he scored in both matches. They're playing Watford.
Yeah. I thought about that. Yeah, it's just that concern about who's going to get the goals in that team.
Yeah, it does get spread around. I mean, it could be De Bruyne. I mean, worst case scenario, Sterling comes out of that game with a hat trick.
It's kind of amazing, isn't it? Like, Gabriel Jesus had a great game week, and this is the first time we've talked about him 45 minutes into the podcast.
Yeah, I'd be curious to hear from, I mean, I think I know what they'd say, but people who captained Jesus this game week, I mean, probably limited. Yeah. It lowered their ceiling for the game week, but it's still like feeling, two goals.
Yeah, you had to be feeling pretty good after Tuesday, but yeah, now it seems like, I mean, two goals and an assist and four bonus points. I mean, you know, huge return.
Michael Bathurst on Facebook says he's one of the few remaining in the FPL who still has his triple cap. He says, I still need to pick a triple captain. Who should it be? All right, so does Mitchell get to pick a differential captain, or does he just need, if he has his triple cap, he can go with the popular captain, knowing that he's just going to get more out of the popular captain?
Yeah, I mean, there was some quote after the Hull game where Harry Kane said, you know, I can't be satisfied that I won the Golden Boot. I've got to go out and score four more against Hull on Sunday. And just that kind of talk, I'm like, it would be crazy not to triple captain Kane in the final game week. Especially if it's a triple captain. I mean, then differential stuff gets going out of the window. Then you just want the players going to score the most points.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I agree. Yeah, I think if you're in Mitchell's position, you just go with the consensus and just roll with it.
Yeah. So, yeah, actually, TJ Crane had another question about triple captainships, but I think that I, you know, to answer your question, TJ, I would go with Kane. And we had a lot of nice comments on our Facebook page too. A lot of people were really, maybe it's, you know, I think we're, you know, it's our next to last podcast this season. We're doing another podcast, you know, like either Sunday night or Monday, just kind of a, you know, season recap. So if you haven't joined the Facebook page yet, please do so. Cause we'll post some periodic updates and maybe we'll talk about the Gold Cup there, this summer. It's like the only cup that's happening this summer. So come and watch us talk about, USA Mexico.
Yeah. And if there's anything you want us to talk about in our season recap, just post your questions on Facebook. Josh will probably put up a call for questions.
For sure. Point. Yeah. Yeah. All right, Brendan, let's take a quick break. We have a couple et cetera questions, and then we'll look at the actual fixtures for Game Week 38.
Great.
Same old podcast, always cheating.
Josh, I've decided that I want to change the name of this section from et cetera chat to, I was looking at ETC and I read extra time. I want this to be called extra time chat.
Oh, that's good. Yeah.
I want it to be called extra time chat with Brandon.
That actually is something we're talking about, the format for next year. We thought about making it a little bit cleaner, like really clearly defined sections. So if you like the podcast and there are things you don't like or things you do like and want more of, email us at hailcheaters@gmail.com or send us a message on Twitter or whatever. And, you know, let us know, because, you know, it was like talking to Danny Bean and being like, you know, my girlfriend didn't know what a differential was. It was like, oh, right. Like maybe we are too in the weeds of certain sections and the way we talk. So,
I did tell Danny he's not being a good boyfriend and explain.
Yeah, we're gonna start having a section called Bean's Girlfriend.
Bean.
all right, extra time chat. Joe, I like this because I often call out for questions, comments, and rants, and we get lots of questions and lots of rants, but very rarely do we get a comment. And Joe said, I felt like there were fewer consensus must-owns than in seasons past. Made for a more interesting season, in my opinion. What do you think?
Absolutely. I love this, and it cuts both ways this season, and we can get into this in the final pod, but it's been at once like an incredibly trying, painful season, but because of that, it's been especially fun, just because there have been so many decisions to make.
Yeah.
And yeah, there have been fewer must-owns because I think I mentioned this last week or a few weeks ago, where form has just felt so fleeting with mm-hmm. big players. I mean, you could look at Lukaku or Harry Kane. Lukaku has dips in form. Kane had his injury. Look at Liverpool, where you needed to have triple Liverpool nailed on, and then they just disappeared for a while due to some injuries and dips in form. Yeah, so, it's been a wild ride.
Yeah, I mean, last season there were just so many players that you could that were cheap that you could just plug in, and decisions weren't as difficult. It was really led by Mahrez at 5.5 million, just freeing up so much money for everybody.
Yeah, you're making decisions, you're transferring in and out guys who are like 8, 9, 10 million because the essential players were sub 7.
Yeah, I mean, everyone had three Leicester players from most of last season. You had Mahrez at 5.5, Vardy at 7.5, Vardy was whatever he started at. And then you had one of their defenders who were all like, I mean, I had Danny Simpson for most of the year and he was like 4 million.
Yeah, or Schmeichel for that matter.
Yeah, exactly. So I think this was a really fun season, and you know, hopefully next year will be more like it. I would like to see some of the, Nick Cummings had a post on Transfer Hub today about chips and whether they make the game better or worse, and just kind of like he was just sort of asking people what they thought, and I don't think, I mean, it must be like just the kind of the nerd community, a category I include myself in. But I just don't like them, and I would be happy to see them go away. And part of the problem, which Nick talks about, is that it actually makes the game less creative for a lot of us because it forces all of us to bench boost a particular game week, to wild card a particular game week. I mean, I know that there are exceptions, but the right strategy is to do it a certain way, and it just encourages a lot of groupthink. And suddenly you had these wild card teams, and it was like Game Week 37, like we all had the same players, you know, and how is that fun? You know, I mean, yeah. I mean, like not just like the same three or four players, but like the same like 13 or 14 players.
Yeah, exactly.
And that just
I think I agree. But I just to play devil's advocate, I would say it's the second season. If the chips had existed since the FPL game was invented, Maybe we don't even have this. I mean, obviously, we're not having this conversation in 2017 if that's the case. Yeah. But it could just be the new normal, and we'll grow to accept it, and it'll stop being a big deal. And like we were saying earlier in the pod, the more seasons we have with the chips and the more data and history at hand, the more freed we'll be to get creative with them.
I still want them to drop the all out attack for my double defense chip. Want that double D.
We haven't even talked about this. You've still got the AOA.
Yeah, I'm not going to use it. There's no way. I might play four defenders this game week.
That is the ultimate middle finger to FPL Towers. So you can take this AOA chip and shove it.
All right, here's a question for you then. I'm looking at my team for game week 38, right? Mm-hmm. Right now I have four defenders. So would you, the first player on my bench is Will Zaha, playing away to Man United. Yep. So would you rather have Will Zaha over Stevens at home to Stoke, Company away to Watford, Alonso home to Sunderland, or Ben Davies away to Hull?
Yeah, I don't think so. I really don't think so. I think that Crystal Palace and Zaha are cooked. Yeah,
they got their win. I mean, they're totally, you know, they're solid. I think they're on with 40 or 41 points. And you know, I don't know what's going on with that Man U team. I mean, it's possible that they're just completely. I mean, they clearly are like totally focused on the Europa League. By the way, I would not dare transfer in a Man United player this game week.
The ghost of Marcus Rashford says, "Don't you dare."
Yeah, exactly.
I do think that regardless of rotation, United are pretty strong on the wings, depending on who starts, and I think that they'll have Townsend and Zaha covered. I mean, that's my gut prediction.
I just don't know what to think about that game. That's a very hard game to predict, I think.
Yeah, for sure. All right, what else do we have in extra time chat, Josh?
Final question is from Impatri Trust. He says, was Gabbiadini the biggest troll this season, and was Southampton the biggest troll team?
I'm going to coin a new term, and Gabbiadini is a micro troll. Because I feel like the time period in which he trolled us was very short. Mm-hmm. It was but a blip. Mm-hmm. And it was a hard troll. That mm-hmm. was a hard troll, but it was a micro troll.
Yeah. Crappiadini is.
There you go.
I don't think about him now.
Southampton, on the other hand, I mean, they totally trolled us attacking wise. Charlie Austin was not a troll. He was a tease. Like, oh, what could have been?
Right, right.
But as far as Southampton, I mean, everyone who brought in Jack Stevens was roundly rewarded. I doubled up with Stevens and Yoshida over the last couple of weeks, and that was a big plus for me. I think Southampton on the whole has been great.
I think Everton would be my troll team. Not necessarily Lukaku. I mean, you know, give him due credit. He scored a boatload of goals this year. But every midfielder on that team was such a troll. You know, it was like Bolasie for a while, and Barclay for a little bit, and Morales. And it was like, and they're also cheap. And so it was always so tempting to try to bring them in and work them in your team.
Yeah, there was a run there early on where you had the Bolasie Lukaku connection, and that was pretty undeniable. And then there was this period where everyone was frantically getting Everton players in because they had like an 8-game stretch.
Right.
And I feel like Everton does do this every season. When their fixtures get good, they get bad.
Yeah. Outside of Lukaku, that was just that was the team that caused me the most stress this year. I thought that maybe Watford a little bit too, where like Deeney was kind of a tease the whole season, or he'd have like a little run of a game or two, and then you'd rush to bring him in, and then he'd, you know, drop out again. I mean, then it was so sad. I mean, what happened to Agallo? He's moved to China. It was like he was like a secret star of last season. I mean, speaking about cheap players last year, I mean, Agallo was amazing for a huge stretch of the year. And then it was like he kind of sucked the first half of this year, and then he was just gone.
It just totally vanished. But speaking of Watford, the like anti-troll for me is Etienne Capoue.
Right.
Brought him back for sentimental values. The price was right, and he rewards me with a beautiful goal from an idiotic John Terry mistake. And that was really the cherry on top of my 188 points in 37.
Yeah.
So, Etienne, I know you're listening. Thank you. We'll see you next season.
That one did kind of seal it for you. That was a ludicrous goal. I think Terry was like still celebrating having scored a goal.
Oh, he was like still crying tears of joy.
I won't call Leicester a big troll team this year because I think it's got to take a huge emotional toll to win the championship and the, you know, in this crazy run where they played better than they should have, obviously, and then to play in the Champions League with a small squad, and then somehow get to the quarterfinals with that small squad. I mean, and still finish, you know, at or like either in the top 10, probably depending on the final game or near it. I mean, if you told Leicester fans, like longtime Leicester fans, not fans who just joined like the fan club this last year, that next season you'd make, you know, you'd finish the top half of the league or thereabouts and you'd be in the quarterfinals of the Champions League, I think they would have taken that, right? I mean, what else would you expect?
Yeah, when you take a step back at this season, it's been kind of a dream victory lap for them. Undefeated in the Champions League, despite going out. Remarkable, truly remarkable. And they finished mid-table. There was some weirdness with Ranieri. That's kind of a black mark, but still, it's a great season if you're a fan.
They're in 11th place right now. If they win their final fixture and a couple of things break their way, they can end up finishing in 9th place. So, I mean, 9th place and quarterfinals of Champions League, that's a good season.
So is there anything else we need to cover for previewing Game Week 38?
I feel like we covered it all. I mean, just be ready for some chaos. You know, be ready for some of your starters not to play.
I don't even think it's worth trying to predict clean sheets at this point there might not be any. And also, I would definitely advise against transferring in a defender in 38. It's all attack.
I certainly wouldn't burn four for a defender. All right, Brandon. Well, find us in various places. Those places include Twitter. We're at Hail Cheaters. Facebook.com/alwayscheating. Support the podcast and to listen to exclusive podcasts on Patreon. That's patreon.com/alwayscheating.
Yes, and subscribe to the podcast. We're on iTunes. Please, if you've listened to and enjoyed the podcast this season, it really helps us out if you can leave us a review, rate us 5 stars. That's awesome. We're also on SoundCloud, Stitcher, Google Play, Acast, TuneIn, Pocket Cast, anywhere you get your podcast. And you know that because you're listening to the podcast right now. And just a reminder to everyone out there who wants to take advantage of this Fantasy Football Magazine deal from our buddy Jamie, go to fantasyfootballmag.com/alwayscheating. You get a 25% off discount for being a listener to our podcast. There are only 10 discounts available, so act fast.
Yep, you got it. All right, well, Brandon, looking forward to Sunday. Good luck in your own, your money league head-to-head.
Yeah, Trevor, if you're out there listening, it's not even a thing. You're not going to know what hit you. It's going to be like a truck wiping you out from the side.
Yeah.
Kind of a brutal image to end on.
Very dark, yeah. You're like Rucker Hauer. What was that movie? Rucker Hauer movie where he chases the guy in the car? The trucker or something like that? That's too bold. If I were you, I would have done some reverse psychology. I would have told him that I was going to lose, and that if I won, it was the gods decided to smile on me, and it was a miracle of miracles. I mean, I didn't even talk this episode about what a miracle it is that I'm in the top 150K after having a baby this year. I mean,
a miracle that you gave birth to it, that you and your wife had a baby. It's a miracle that you got to top 150K. That's great.
It's true. All right. Well, I'll see you on Sunday, Brandon.
All right. Good luck, everybody, in game week 38, the last game week. Hail Poku.
Hail Cheaters.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, U-N-I-F-Y-D, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE system.